Craig Perrin. I'm the VP of Sales here at Mataco, and welcome to Mataco Talks. This is the 16th episode in a series of live conversations, purely focused on how the future of digital assets is shaping up. Today's session is somewhat different. We are basically turning the tables on ourselves, and we have, rather than bringing in guests from the outside, we're interviewing today Mataco's CEO, Adrian Tricani, and Mataco's VP of Strategic Alliances, Seamus Donoghue. So together with a colleague, Dario Duran, who has joined very recently Mataco, we will be interviewing Adrian and Seamus. So Dario, good morning.
Yeah, thank you, Craig. I'm super excited to be part of the show. To be fair, I don't get in front of the camera very much. In this episode, what I'm hoping that we get to do is we get to find out Mataco's latest product, Harmonize, get a little bit of insight into it, how it fits into the market, and some rationale behind what Adrian and Seamus have been doing in strategizing on how to put Mataco at the forefront of what's happening in digital asset custody. So, and for the audience, if you ever want to listen to the recordings of previous conversations, just search for Mataco Talks on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any of the main podcast platforms. So looking forward to it. Enjoy.
Great. Thanks, Dario. Okay, let's get going straight away. Adrian, good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to turn the tables. Dario and I agree to be lots of good questions for you this morning. So first of all, look, Mataco recently launched and rebranded the core platform as Mataco Harmonize. The product is positioned as an end-to-end orchestration layer, really focused on the digital assets applications. If we just take a step back, it would be great just to hear from you around the orchestration meaning, your thinking behind that phrase and behind utilizing that as a key component. And in particular, in relation to how you see the relation with the digital asset market evolving in this space.
I would like to mention how digital assets were adopted over the last 10 years and the evolution of these markets, which started as a very retail-focused technology and platform, started with exchanges where you could buy your cryptocurrencies and then export them to a mobile wallet or a computer device. That would be relatively painful. The user experience would be low. And the market started to, with more and more companies getting the market and offering institutional services for the management of digital assets. And it started relatively easily with basic custody solutions where the bank or the company, which often were exchanges, would provide a single infrastructure to manage Bitcoins, to manage Ethereum, and to manage some of the workflows associated to these. Now, I would like to mention one example that we faced as a company last year, and that led to long discussions with a potential client that ultimately turned as a client for reasons that I'm going to explain. So this really started with the fact that this company, which is a pretty well-known company on the markets, had built its own custody solution when they were founded. So they built a very specialized Bitcoin-centric solution to manage cryptocurrencies and to offer such service to their clients. Now, pretty soon after this, they realized that because it had been created at the early stage of the company, it was relatively immature. It was, many things could have been improved. And so they decided that they had to build a second iteration of this platform, which would be much more professional, potentially audited, certified in different ways, and would complement what they had achieved with the first platform. So they did this, and they were very successful with the second platform. They got the certifications they needed. They improved over some of the services they had created over the first platform. But they quickly realized that the trade-off they had got to is that they had left something which was a bit immature but agile, And now got into something which was very much high quality and high quality certified audited, but very hard to evolve, very hard to add new currencies, very hard to add new forms of use cases with decentralized finance, with staking. And so they ended up having to build and acquire additional custody solutions to complement their offering, some which would even go as far as to consume retail cryptocurrency management service, tools like Ledger, Nano S, or hardware wallets that would, you would never believe they would use this in an institutional environment, but still they did, and I think they still do. And so the main friction they were facing at this time is they started accumulating the various custody solution that they needed to serve their clients with complete different approval processes, complete different key management principles. And so what they ended up needing is a single way to orchestrate these different custody backends, these different ways to interact with cryptocurrencies. And so that's only the beginning of the story, because ultimately, when you start thinking about orchestration, realize that it's not just about custody. It is about interacting with liquidity providers, exchanges, brokers. It is about integrating compliance services, so that when you, as a regulated company, you receive a deposit, you are able to know where the money is coming from and associate some logic around this process. It is also about interacting with the advanced capabilities of decentralized finance, borrowing, lending, staking, which are getting more and more versatile and far-reaching, and require things which were certainly not planned even 2 or 3 years ago. Every time you get one of these new blockchains or new DeFi protocols, you have to somehow rethink the way your system was consumed in the context of your service. And so this is how Medaco was led to create this platform, Medaco Harmonize. We understood that there are various and fragmented offerings on the market, whether on the liquidity side, the custody side, the compliance side, and that there is an increasingly significant need to consolidate these different offerings into a single gateway, I would call it, a single way, secure way to orchestrate, to access these services, and make sure you have a single point of view over all of these fragmented services. This is what Medaco Harmonize is about. It is about really providing a single API, a single front end, that can evolve through time, that can connect multiple custodians, multiple trading venues, multiple compliance providers, yet through a single interface, which can be connected just once into your front ends that you offer to your clients, and potentially into your back ends, if you're a bank, your core banking system that you have to connect to deal with accounting, tax reporting, etc.
Adrian, thank you. Interesting view. I mean, Seamus, maybe if I can come to you. Adrian mentioned banks in particular. If I think a little bit around tier one financial institutions, creating, optionality and avoiding technical debt is a compelling value proposition. Right? Banks are continually focused on cost management, and clearly the situation around digital assets is a fast evolving landscape at this current moment in time. Banks are looking to implement and create capability for their clients. But do you see this as a problem just for large tier one financial institutions, or across the sort of that digital asset infrastructure, or is it equally happening across the crypto native startups as well?
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I think Adrian gave very good context to how, the evolution of the market, and I just put that more, just kind of emphasize some of the points there. I think, crypto natives should be the most agile and the most kind of adapted to the space. And what we've seen in reality is, with digital assets, it's not just about having secure solutions for keys, it's about the governance of the keys. So any platform you have, whether it's self-custody, sub-custody, as Adrian went, other services like staking platforms, settlement networks, All of these need to have, appropriate governance, and all the solutions, the solutions that are specific in those industries or sort of the specific in those use cases have governance tools. But, as the space grows and you have multiple platforms, how do you manage each of those? Who has access to that platform, and that has its own set of rules, and then a separate set, let's say a separate self-custody solution has its own set of rules. Staking platform has its own set of rules. You need something to bring those together. So as an organization, you have some sort of holistic sort of single control process, single operational and risk approach. And that's for a crypto native. So crypto native firms are obviously, sorry.
I was just going to say, absolutely. I mean, it's sorry for cutting into you like that, but I couldn't agree with you more about the need for this type of middleware coordination layer that's in there. What strikes me though, and this is something that, you know, I want to question both of you about, you know, you guys decide who wants to answer, but in the past few many weeks that I've been here, as we start up, you know, I've been party to a few RFPs, and I still see this orchestration or this coordination layer as a nice to have from the clients, the biggest, you know, banks in the world. Why is it that they haven't yet gotten to the point where they step away from thinking about digital custody as the purchase of blockchain nodes plus key management software, hardware, plus compliance, AML type of software? They're still very much lodged in this, you know, puzzle fitting mode, and they haven't, I think, yet developed the sense that there's a broader, you know, coordination function that's required. Why is that still the case, or what can we do to help them out?
Well, why don't I comment on that? I think, you know, Adrian described the evolution of the market, and I think when we have banks come into this space, they're much less mature in their thinking. They're still trying to figure out digital assets and what's required. And, you know, we evolved from being a kind of a single custody framework, a custody framework that became very flexible in terms of how you could deploy it, multiple hardwares, the MPC. That was kind of unique. But I'd say the custody space as on its own is fairly mature. And what we've observed is no single solution solve all your problems. You have different use cases. You're going to require different types of solutions. And I think some of the players that haven't been in the market as long come to the perception that a single sort of, let's call it silo, which is what we used to call our product, solves all their problems, when in fact the space is growing exponentially in many different directions, and it's very hard to predict which way. And you don't want to make strategic decisions that kind of close those options very early on. So you may start with, let's say, MPC. Then day two, you have got requirement for hardware. And then there may be a requirement for a different type of hardware, need to be a cloud-based. Now, all of these things impact your architecture. You're going to integrate all of these. One, parameterize them, as I said before, and then integrate them all into your core infrastructure. Now, that integration may not be such a big lift in a small, agile firm, crypto native firm, but a bank, you don't want to go to core integration more than once. Once is painful enough. I mean, things like how many decimals the system supports or can be a massive roadblock, as we've seen. Basically, and decimals matter in our space, given you have 8 to 12, whatever. So these things become big issues. So one of the messages that we're very focused on is orchestration. We've seen the market evolve from thinking there's a single silo that'll solve all your problems to trying to get the message across that over time, you're going to need a very flexible and agile solution. And the key point about, particularly when you move into a banking space, is their infrastructure by default is not agile. I mean, you're talking about banks that have, you know, they're building legacy on top of legacy on top of legacy. I mean, it's a cliche, but it is a spaghetti of infrastructure. So you should have a single point of integration to an orchestration framework. So you have a single sort of risk and control approach that you can abstract across all your solutions, whether that's, you know, we talk about the custody use case, self-custody, multiple self-custody infrastructures. And there's also a need here for sort of redundant infrastructure. We just had Curve got bought by PayPal, and those that are using Curve, they're like, wait a second, we have to get off this by year end. What are we going to do? So we see actually more and more firms realizing they need, you know, no single dependency on core infrastructures, so they need multiple there. There's often a use case for sub-custody. You know, we work with obviously some of the largest security services firms in the space, Northern Trust and Chart, who, you know, to be fair, they helped us design this framework because they came to us and say, we have self-custody, which is direct custody in the security services space requirements. Yeah. And again, it may be very prescriptive from regulators what type they have, different jurisdictions. So they may have multiple instances, just like the crypto native firms. But then there's jurisdictions where they're not regulated and they need to rely on kind of network of sub-custodians, which is very traditional, very normal in the traditional space, where they have larger firms can have upwards towards 100 sub-custodians. Now, each of those will have their own policy layers, their own sort of, you know, risk and controls, their own sort of accounting, their own sort of, you know, position keeping. Now, how do you manage all those discrete infrastructures? You can't. You need a single layer to kind of abstract those, manage them all from one point. Otherwise, you're going to have all sort of control risk gaps. And in the end, complexity of the system is going to be a disaster and is going to lead to all sorts of problems in a space where risk and security are of the utmost priority.
Absolutely. No, I agree 100%. It's one of the reasons that I'm here, because Mitako is a unique animal in this market with regards to the orchestration foresight. I know that Adrian was looking at this stuff already a couple of years ago as he's developed it. And the market is still catching up in that regard. I'm going to latch on to a particular aspect of what you were just covering. You talked about Curve. You mentioned MPC as a protocol, multi-party compute type of infrastructure that's making its way into the market. I see increasingly players want to test it. They want to see if the promises are true. Can you really build out digital asset custody without having to have hardware in-house? And when I hear statements like that, I think the problem that they're trying to solve is that they want to step away from having to hire smart people that manage, you know, critical infrastructure, and they want to outsource that somehow. So there's a trade-off that's happening there. And I'd like to maybe from either of you, from Adrian, can you talk a little bit about the trade-offs that you're making when you're doing MPC versus HSM, the hardware security module implementations in-house?
Yeah, absolutely. I can start with a few words about MPC itself, what it is about and why was it invented in the context of key management. So it's been now the standard for many years to secure the cryptographic keys in special hardware, which is designed to protect these keys, protect their confidentiality, and ensure that any kind of attack attempt is identified and the keys are potentially zeroed out, so that, you know, it's impossible even with physical access to the containers storing these keys to extract them. Now, the main fragility of these hardware security modules, which are specialized for key management, is that they are pretty centralized, i.e. if you get to hold one of these boxes, and I don't know, let's say you have an electronic microscope and you would be able to open the chips and look inside, which in principle is impossible, but you know, theory is always breached by attackers. You may be able to extract the key which is held in a single box. You know, that's the single point of failure or the single point of compromise. Also, if the manufacturer of this box makes a mistake, you know, there is a bug, there is a weakness in the hardware, you know, it may be in principle, it has happened in the past that your HSM may be fragile to an attack and may leak the confidential data. So if now we go to the multi-party computation, which is this more recent way of dealing with cryptographic keys, MPC is about decentralizing and therefore creating security through distribution of the key material. Rather than saying I have a super secure vault, which is my hardware security module, and I assume that nobody can break in the context of MPC, I say, well, there is no vault at all. So in principle, it's very insecure, but I'm going to spread fragments of this key in multiple locations, such that the approach to break the key is to break multiple locations or multiple data stores relatively at the same time. And so, you know, this debate is endless, because whether HSM or MPC is better is really a question of security assumptions. Is it better to have a purpose-built hardware which has survived decades without breach but is centralized? Or is it better to have fragments of keys in the cloud in very basic virtual machines or database, which are pretty insecure, but you distribute it amongst multiple parties, and therefore it makes it hard to compromise at the same time? And so in this context, of course, we would be tempted to say that the ideal situation would be a kind of combination of the two, where you would have decentralization with hardening, so with special hardware capable of maintaining these fragments. But the market is not there yet. I'm sure it will happen, but the market is not there yet. Now, still, the fact is, there is a lot of traction currently with multi-party computation algorithms, because you don't need hardware, and hardware is a pain to maintain. I mean, let's be honest about it. You said it. Well, if you want to maintain hardware, you need experts that maintain the hardware. Or you leverage hardware in the cloud, which may be fully managed by your cloud provider. But then you start having more trust into your cloud provider, which, you know, may be fine, but some people are not comfortable with this idea. So MPC being fully software with, you know, modern technologies, virtual machines, Kubernetes, etc., you can really deploy your key management backend just by pressing a couple of buttons, essentially. So in this context, having a deploying a custody infrastructure with MPC is something you can achieve in a short amount of time with limited efforts if you leverage this new technology. So where do we position ourselves with MetaCore in this duality of HSM and MPC? Well, we think ultimately most companies we are going to need both depending on the use case and depending on the country where they operate, depending on the laws, depending on the best practices. There are countries where it is mandatory to secure the keys with hardware. There are countries where it is mandatory to air gap the keys in a completely, you know, isolated environment. And there are countries where MPC is now getting traction and becoming kind of the recommended approach. But we know that depending on the use case, whether you want to have, for instance, long-term custody of your assets, well, potentially having an air-gapped hardware is going to be more appropriate than MPC, which is much more agile and potentially more prone to dynamic interactions or fast, high-frequency transactions. So we believe that, and this is what we observe actually, that there is a requirement for plurality here, for more than one solution. And we come back to this narrative of orchestration. You know, why should you go to the market and try to convince your clients that hardware is the solution or MPC is the only solution, when in fact you can promote something which is agnostic to it, can leverage multiple brands of hardware, can leverage different kinds and different flavors and innovations on the multi-party computation side also. Well, this is what we've decided to do. And this is how we've been able to support banks in various jurisdictions, various countries. This is also how we've been able to leverage the solution for many different use cases, whether related to tokenization, to trading, to long-term custody, because we provide this flexibility, which can satisfy both, you know, the kind of long-term sub-custodians, large CSDs, or the asset managers that are much more agile and want to be able to trade, stake, lend, borrow, et cetera.
Thank you.
Seamus, Adrian, thank you. I'm conscious time is moving on with the four of us. We should have probably had a bit more time. But look, you know, I think one thing would be really interesting just to talk about briefly. You know, the company's evolved from a sort of self-custody infrastructure, multi-custody to orchestration, many-to-many interactions, vaults, tokens, trading exchanges, sub-custodians. It's covered a huge amount, and already, you know, even in, you know, my time working with the team, you know, I've seen the history and the evolution. You know, I mean, probably a question to, but I'd like to get probably a view from both of you on this, and maybe also Dario, but. You know, particularly for Metaco, Adrian, what do you see as what's next? And then maybe Seamus, some comments from you in the same type.
Well, I think there are quite a few initiatives on the market, and I'm not going to say about what next for Metaco exclusively, but what's next on the market actually. And I can see that there are different initiatives to leverage these new technologies like multi-party computation to create consortium of parties which share risk and in a way distribute the risk even further beyond the boundaries of your company. So I think that's one market trend today is about creating even more decentralization with beyond the boundaries of your company, so that you're potentially cross-border, you're potentially subject to multiple jurisdictions, and you avoid the single point of failures related not just to technology, but potentially politics, the financial stability of the different parties, etc. So I think that's one of the trends that's moving now. I also believe that with the additional ease that is provided with the advanced technologies, self-custody is going to become more prone to be used even by smaller companies, which was in the past harder to consume because of its complexity. But also see that sub-custodians are appearing in the markets, you know, large custodians offering the services to other smaller companies. And I believe that the ability to interact with sub-custodians in this field is going to be paramount to the success of digital asset adoption.
Maybe just add on a little bit more specifically about us. So, I mean, I think obviously we've evolved from a custody product company. We launched a SaaS solution to more solutions. And in the context of solutions, clients are looking less for a product now and look for a full stack. So obviously we're building out, we have a number of strategic initiatives with partners about that can complement our solution, whether that's things like AML, trading, you know, reporting, IFRS compliant data, cutting NAVs, you know, fund accounting type of solutions. But I think more importantly, you know, we have a wallet, we continue to have a wallet, we think it's good. But as I said earlier, the wallet space or the custody space is pretty mature. So clients may, or sorry, competitors may still see us in that box, us in the custody competitor space. But I think with Harmonize, we're a little more agnostic to that, or a lot more agnostic. And so a lot of those, what we could call competitors, we're more than happy to collaborate on the Harmonize side. So we, even though I would say we have a good wallet, we know clients will want more. So clients will want our wallet, they want another wallet. They may not even want our wallet at all. They may use two or three of our competitors, and they have a problem on how do I manage these three solutions, and how do I have the ability to scale those to other solutions, other self-custody, sub-custody. I mean, this is the reality how the space is evolving. So we have Harmonize. So if you think you're a competitor, maybe you're actually we're potential partners in the space, and we can collaborate on providing a solution to clients that have that, they're facing that pain point.
So Seamus and Adrian and Craig, I'll hand over. So if I hear you two correctly, it means that if you feel that you're part of this ecosystem, if you feel that you're part of the crypto stack, which should be implemented either in a big financial institution, in financial infrastructure companies, prime brokers, or an asset manager, if you feel you've got a solution for them, then you should be talking to Nataco about integrating with us. Is that right? There we go.
I think that's the message. Thanks, Dario.
Great. Okay. Look, I think we're literally bang on time. So first of all, thank you for the insights. I think with the background and the experience, both from yourself, Adrian, Seamus, and Dario as well. You know, it's been a phenomenal first quarter for me joining the team. Great to be here. Appreciate your insights this morning. Thank you for everyone joining. I hope you found it informative. Apologies, we haven't been able to take any questions from the audience, but if there are any questions, we're happy to take those through the usual channels. The next Mataco Talks is a live event from our virtual booth at the Network Forum annual meeting, which will take place shortly. We will then be back on the usual schedule in the coming week. So the recordings are usually available via the website and the usual method. But thanks everyone for joining. Appreciate it, and have a good day. Have a good weekend. Thanks all.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.